Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. This is our Tuesday tip edition of our show. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I'm going to be sharing business strategies and tips with you on Tuesdays. Today's topic is mastering your craft. One of the things that I find in talking to people, and this is definitely over the years and even currently, is that no one really wants to put in the necessary work in order to truly become a master of their craft. And yet, when people do take the time and energy to become a master of their craft, they have a level of confidence and assurity and skills that lead them to many, many opportunities. So let's talk about how this plays out in real life. I'll tell the story first of when I was a fairly young individual. I started playing the drums or percussion as a musical instrument when I was about 10 years old. Now, the story of that goes that I went, took the test, did not qualify to play percussion because everyone wanted to play percussion. And I was told I would have to choose something else because I did not score high enough on what was a test that they gave mostly in regard to pitch and sound, which is interesting because it has absolutely nothing to do with percussion. But I failed the test, and they told me I had to choose another instrument. Well, I came home and was extremely saddened by this, and my mom called the school and said she has her heart set on this. Can't you at least give her a try? Fortunately, they did, and they said, we will give her 3 months, and if she can't keep up with the other kids, then we're going to have to move her to something else. It was all agreed. So back then, I don't know if any of you have ever played a musical instrument, and they don't do this anymore, but we had cards, practice cards, and you were required to practice for 30 minutes. They wanted you to practice 30 minutes a day, and you had to write it in, and then your parents had to sign their initials beside of it. So I decided that if I only had 90 days before they were going to evaluate whether I was any good or not, that I would not only practice 30 minutes a day, but 45 minutes to an hour every single day. And that's how it began. And I would practice the same things over and over and over again. And at the end of 90 days, not only was I kept in the program, but I was one of the best kids in the class. This continued throughout all of my years of playing percussion, all the way through my senior year in high school. And that is because I practiced all of the time. I started playing at 10, and then around 11, my next door neighbor and the boy that lived behind him, which was kitty corner of me, we started playing together. And he played the trumpet, and my next door neighbor played saxophone. And we would play songs all of the time. We started practicing for little talent shows and then even got in different talent shows in the sixth grade and then in the seventh grade and in the eighth grade. We were recognized by one of our teachers as, wow, these three are actually pretty good, and pulled us together with a full band where we were actually in the ninth grade playing music and playing for school events, which was pretty exciting. But mind you, all of this time, what happened? I was just playing and playing, playing by myself, playing more songs, playing with a group, playing continually. This helped me master that craft. Then when I went on to high school and I was in the marching band, I was the only female there as well. I had to work harder to prove myself to an all-male drum section. And trust me, there was a lot of tension with that. And so I practiced and I practiced. I would drive down the road on my bicycle And I would just practice with my hands. I would practice rudiments. I would practice drum cadences. I would practice anything that I could. That is what led me to be in several different bands. And it led to my teacher in high school recommending me to teach percussion for younger kids, as parents would ask him, who would you recommend as a percussion teacher? This was a really nice income to be making when you're only a junior and senior in high school. So it led to some really great opportunities, and that continued on in my career. When I started working in sales, I became just as obsessive. I practiced sales speeches. I practiced openings. I practiced overcoming objections. I made out flashcards. I practiced what I was going to say. I would write out my opening. I would write out my introduction to somebody. And I practiced it again and again and again and again to the point where it absolutely came natural. Now, a lot of people would say to me, how are you so natural at this? How are you so good at this? Well, I practice all the time. I practiced talking my sales pitch when I'm in the shower. I practice when I'm vacuuming my living room floor. I practice when I'm just driving down the road. I practice out loud. And I tell this to people all the time right now, too. You have to practice a speech out loud because you speak differently out loud than you do in your head. The timing is different. You sound different. You actually get to hear yourself and realize that you don't make as much sense when you're talking in your head as what you do when you're speaking out loud. And so I became a really good speaker. I became a really good salesperson. And then I was asked to speak for the first time at an incentive trip, and all the executives from Colgate-Palmolive were there, and I was to present. I have never been so afraid, so nervous, so sick to my stomach as I was on that particular trip ever in my entire life. But I presented, it went well, they thought it was great, they complimented me over and over again, and I came home and said, I'm never going to be caught like that again, where I feel like I'm unprepared when somebody says, oh, could you speak to this because you're doing such a great job? So I used to practice all kinds of different speeches. What if I were asked about this? What if I were asked about this? What if they asked me to get up on stage and share my ideas on this or how I do this? And so I would go for walks. I would drive down the road. Whatever I was doing, I would practice different speeches and scenarios about what I would share with an audience. That honestly is what led me to become a professional speaker, because the more I did that, the better I got, the better my timing was. And I was recognized by a couple of professional motivational speakers at the time who said, wow, you're very good at this. In fact, you're a wasted talent here and you should be on your own. At that point, I had the confidence to go out on my own. And that's what people don't understand about mastering their craft, is when you do that, there is a huge amount of confidence that allows you to stand out or to be recognized. And it requires doing the work. The number one thing that I'm asked about from different types of sellers is, how do you ever get over being so nervous when you're doing a presentation? And I said, you just have to do it a lot. Well, what if you don't have that many presentations? Then practice at home. Practice like you're giving a presentation, and then get the presentations booked. Book several in a row. I'm always amazed at when I share with salespeople to book 3 presentations in a row, because a lot of times people will book 1 in a week. They might book 2 in a week, but sometimes they don't book 1 for every 2 weeks. And so I'm like, you need to do 3 in a row. And what happens when they do 3 in a row? Well, by the 3rd one, they've created momentum and they have responded to their audience. They remember what that audience, it is an audience, but a group of customers think, what their responses are, what their questions are. You become acclimated to that. You have answers for them the very next day. You're in the same situation. You're a little bit more confident. You speak a little bit more strongly. And then what? By the third day, you're just on fire. And people are like, wow, this person really knows what they're talking about. But when you go 4 weeks without revisiting something, you can't remember or you don't have that confidence and you don't know what it feels like. The same thing goes. If you ever watched kids especially play a video game, my goodness, they can sit down and they play it and they play it and they play it and they play it for hours. I remember when my son was a teenager and that's when Guitar Hero first came out. And he played so much Guitar Hero, it was crazy. And I used to think, well, at least he's in his room playing Guitar Hero and he's not out getting into trouble. But then he joined a couple of, they had some local contest going on, and then he went and he won several of those. Then he went to several tournaments throughout the state of Michigan, and then he ended up getting to play at one of our big concert theaters here with Korn, and he played against the lead guitar player of Korn and then got to play with them, which is just so fun. And what an opportunity that he had. He got an electric guitar signed by all the band members. That was kind of his prize. But if he hadn't have put in all of those hours of playing Guitar Hero, people are like, how do you do that so well? He did it so well because he sat there and did it over and over and over again. He would come home from school, he would do it. I'd make him get his homework done. Then he'd be right back at it until it was time to go to bed. When you want to do something, you have to put in the work. And that's all there is to it. And today, I don't see a lot of people wanting to put the serious work in. I even look at my daughter, who now is 17. And she started acting and doing musical theater when she was 5. And we were just having this conversation the other night. There was a period of time where she did about 5 major shows, productions in a row. And so all of her friends would say, can you come over and play? And she would say, I can't, I have rehearsal. In fact, we actually bought her a t-shirt for Christmas that said, I can't, I have rehearsal, because that was her whole life. And people said, oh, if you don't let her play, if you don't let her do stuff, she's going to start to resent it. And then she won't even like it later. I said, I'm not driving this bus. She's driving this bus. And she hasn't said, no, I don't want to do it. In fact, sometimes I would say, are you tired or do you want to do this? No, I'm fine. I'm ready to go. She had a love of it, but she also knew what it required. And she would come home and she would practice and she would sing and she would work on her songs and she would work on her lines. And that's really what it takes. When she was only 5, she couldn't read. So they said to her, can you read this? And it was for her audition. She said, well, I don't know how to read, but I memorized it. This is in like a 24-hour window of time. And they were like, oh, okay. So she goes and does in just that 24 hours, which she had worked it and worked it and worked it to where she had it memorized. This is at 5 and goes in there and nails this audition. So I'm using my kids because it's a really close example that you see up close and personal, but I see it with other kids in sports. Why is it that some kids, you know, really get far with that and others don't? Well, some come home and they play, they get on the phone, they're on their computer, they play video games, while others go out in the yard and shoot hockey pucks at a net or kick soccer balls into a net or go to a batting cage and practice hitting balls on the weekends instead of being and hanging out with their friends. That's the difference. And I'm not saying that kids shouldn't have any fun, but I'm just telling you, some kids understand about mastering their craft. They have fun, they work around and they make time for their friends, but they don't sacrifice their time of doing what they really want to achieve in order to do that. And that's what I find when people really want to be successful with something, they're just not willing to sacrifice or put the time in or sacrifice doing the other things that are going to make them really successful. I just had an awesome guest on my podcast, and you'll hear it in just a couple of weeks. And he was a basketball player who didn't even make the high school team, but then went on from the time of graduation to trying out for pro ball and making a pro basketball team. And I asked him, you know, how did you do that? He said, in that time, I just practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and watched videos and learned moves. And you want to know what? And he said, I mastered my craft. And then I was able to try out and then ended up getting on this team. And when most people said to him, you're never going to make it. And that is the difference. And everyone says, oh, you know, you just got to be lucky. Well, there certainly are other pieces to being super successful. I like to call it a sort of triangle, but one of those at the top is mastering your craft. The one in the lower corner is your networking and connections, who you meet, where you put yourself out there, because a lot of people will get really good at something, but then they won't ever put themselves out there. They won't stretch themselves. They won't say, okay, let me do this in real life. They just practice and practice and practice. You've got to put yourself out there. You've got to fumble. You got to fail a little bit. You've got to come back, revisit it, try it again. It's the only way you know. Like, it's like me doing speeches in my head. I had to do speeches out loud, and then I just actually had to be on a stage and see what that felt like, and walking around the stage and learning timing. That all came after doing it a lot. And it's the same thing. You can practice a musical instrument, but if you never go out and play anywhere, you won't learn what that's like and the timing and what it feels like to be with other band members. You've got to just get out there and do it. You've got to start somewhere. And so it's also the connections you make, because each one of those things leads you to another person. So when you have opportunities to network or meet new people or go to an event where someone might be that you could introduce yourself, this is a big part of success also. So mastering your craft, learning connections, and really, you know, push through the fear. That is the three things that are going to help you to be successful. People that sit around and worry about fear of failure and what people are going to think and what am I going to do? What if I don't do it well? People will laugh. I always tell my daughter, who cares? You know, you put yourself out there and that made you better. Sometimes she'll look back on videos that she did or performances that she did and she's like, oh my gosh, I was so bad. And I'm like, no, you weren't. That time in your life, you were really good. But you know what? You put yourself out there. And then other people saw you. And then other people recommended you for other roles. And that's what's continued to progress your career throughout your whole childhood. And she's still just 17. But that fear of failure, there is absolutely no room for it. So you have to push through. So I hope this is a helpful tip for you today in what is it that you need to really master? What is it that you might need to sacrifice in order to get really good at the thing you want to get good at? Someone once recently said to me, well, you know, I have to make sure that I do stuff for me. Like, I've got to be able to have some fun too. Well, you know what? When you're trying to learn something and when you're trying to get ahead, sometimes you have to put fun on the back burner for a half a minute so that you can actually get really good or pursue your interests of where you want to go. And then guess what? The fun will happen. The fun will follow. Because when you're doing what you love, when you are being successful, when you are having a really great time and progressing and moving your career forward or working for yourself or doing whatever it is that you want to be doing, it is going to feel really good. And trust me, you will still have fun. And guess what? you can still have fun all along the way. It's just that you're not willing to sacrifice more fun for more discipline. And that's really what it comes down to, is a mindset of discipline. But it's, I have to get good at my craft. So I hope this is a helpful tip for you, and whatever it is that you want to master, just start working at it. And you know what? It doesn't matter what age you are, because you can become really, really good at anything you want to at any age. We'll see you next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.